Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Smashville Live tomorrow night out in Bellevue from 7 until 8 o'clock. Chase, what do you know about Smashville Live?
Well, I know I'm going to be hosting it. It's going to be at the Brew House 100 there in Bellevue, just right off Highway 100. And Ida and Julie will be my guests. Of course, their podcasts. Ida, of course, the wife of Matthias Ekholm, Julie, the wife of Kyle Turris. So it'll be interesting to get their perspective on the news that has happened over the last couple of days and just kind of see what they think about it. But looking forward to it. We get started at 7 o'clock, so come out and hang out with us from 7 to 8 at the Brew House 100 there in Bellevue. Should be a lot of fun.
Sorry, I can't find my liner, so I couldn't add the...
Well, Elijah sent them to you.
The end part.
But
who they're brought to you by. Sorry. But you should go out to Bellevue.
You should.
From 7 to 8 tomorrow.
You should. I think.
I wonder what Julie Turris thinks of the move.
That'll be interesting to hear.
Well, honestly, I think she...
And hang on. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and Yeehaw Beer.
All right.
Very nice. Look at that. I think those two have handled themselves very well through this half season. I mean, it's not an easy position to be in, probably more so for Julie than for Ida, but I think they've both done a very good job managing through that.
Let's head over to the campus of Lipscomb Academy. We have been over there. We've done a show. We had a great time on a Friday afternoon. We talked to their head football coach, who may know a little bit about Titans and Ravens in the playoffs. He may be able to weigh in on it. Yeah, Trent Dilfer's on the line.
He had that ring on when we were over there.
Yeah, he did. He had a big ring on. Trent, how you doing?
Doing great, guys. How you been?
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you guys also.
So what's new and exciting in your world over at Lipscomb before we talk about this matchup?
Oh, man, we're always cranking, trying to get better from a football standpoint, but now really the focus, the kids are playing basketball and doing other things and just making sure academically they're squared away and making sure we hit the spring running.
Can you get us in shape now that it's 2020 in your indoor facility? We probably need to.
I need to get in shape. I started a juice cleanse today because I came back from vacation 20 pounds heavy. And my daughters actually saw me do a Colin Cowherd hit and pulled me aside and said, "Dad, look at this. You are so fat. And you're not healthy." And then my oldest daughter is getting married February 9th, and she put me on a 20-pound. I have to lose 20 pounds by February 9th to have my wedding body so I can fit in the tuck she's getting me.
The wedding body.
Did that really happen from your daughter?
Yes. I'm brutally honest. People that know me know that I don't, you know, I'm just pretty transparent, pretty brutally honest. I guess my daughters have gotten it because they literally, all three of them sat me down and said, "Hey, fatty, like, let's go."
So they had an intervention about your weight.
Yes. After a Colin Cowherd hit where they saw me on TV and they're like, "Uh-uh."
We're not doing that, Dad. Yeah, we actually have multiple televisions. In fact, one big one in our studio. And every week we usually find we point and they're like, "Hey, there's Trent." Usually you got your Lipscomb Academy stuff on. Good promotion for where you are and pretty neat. Well, that's kind of a funny story. I'm glad you're using the facility to get in shape. What do you remember about that run back in 2000, in January of 2000, the run to the Super Bowl?
You know, the things that stick out were just the mindset, the intense laser-like focus we all had. We didn't really get caught up in the noise. You know, where Brian Billick was really, really good, it was his greatest gift, was he came from a PR background. So he handled all the noise for us. Now, this is before social media. This is before the intensity of the noise now. But we didn't deal with any of that stuff. He dealt with all that for us. And all we talked about was ball. All we talked about was the next challenge. All we did every day during that run was wrap our brains around how we were going to win the Super Bowl. And I think it was that kind of locked-in mentality, that mindset, that I remember the most. I remember plays, and somebody posted last night kind of the highlights from the divisional playoff game that year. And I remember, I'd forgotten there were three blocked kicks in that game.
Yep.
So I remember the one. Yeah, I remember the score. I remember the one we scored on. I had forgotten that they blocked two punts of ours.
Yeah.
And I think came up with a total of 3 points or maybe six. Three, right? That was a huge part of the game. As you block two kicks, you expect to get more than 3 points.
Yeah, that game to Derek Mason.
And then the Titans moved the ball at will early on our great defense. And Al, who's a good friend of mine and was a great kicker, and, you know, he gets one blocked. He misses another short one. That was points you guys left on the table. I do remember vividly McNair throwing the ball behind Eddie and Ray picking it off and scoring. I remember, I've told this story on the radio before, but you guys had stolen my playbook out of my locker in week 11, so Greg knew all of our calls. And every time I went to the line of scrimmage, before I'm calling the signals, you guys are calling out the plays, and you kept bringing these free rushers and hitting me in the ribs. I probably got hit in the ribs 15 times that game. So, yeah, I remember that. But it's what I tell people the most is that was the year, kind of like the NFC was this year. That was the year the AFC was just whoever won the AFC was going to smoke whoever they played in the Super Bowl. It ended up being us, but the Titans would have smoked the Giants. The Raiders would have smoked the Giants. Like, the AFC was loaded. It was a three-headed monster.
Yeah.
And the three of us didn't know who was going to win. I mean, all of us get together now, Titans, Ravens, Raiders that were on those teams, and we all knew we were good. We were equally good. It was going to be who got the break that day, which way the ball bounced, which coach doesn't screw it up, and that was going to be the team that won, and that's kind of how we got through it.
Yeah. Trent Dilfer on the line with us. I want you to go back on and talk about that. You talked about keeping the noise out, because you're right, it was different. That was, that's 20 years ago, and today with social media and so many channels we have now, I mean, there's shows everywhere. Sports talk radio is different than back then. But that happened this weekend. It happened, the Titans get asked the questions of, you were underdogs. I mean, you weren't supposed to beat the Patriots. And the Vikings getting asked the same questions. Oh, nobody expected you to win. And you could see the looks on the players' faces or coaches. Well, that's what you guys were saying. That's not what we were saying. That's not what we were talking about and preparing for all week. So talk about trying to keep that element out that we think that everybody's thinking like that, but a lot of times it truly is just fans and media, but it's not in those rooms, not in those walls.
Well, I think this is where the strength of a head coach shows up the most. And I'm going to answer your question, but I want to start with just a Vrabel conversation. When I was asked about Mike when I moved into Tennessee, because I think people were still questioning before the last really 9 weeks, I think people had some questions about Mike. I kept telling them, like, listen, what am I? I'm just a high school football coach. But I'll tell you this. If I were to pick a man to lead my son and message him the right way, it would be Mike Vrabel. Like this, you have a rock star head coach. Now, he had a horrible mustache for most of the year. but he's a rock star. He knows how to do this. My point being is this is the strength of a head coach is the messaging. You're not doing a ton of X's and O's. I mean, Mike and I have talked about this. You spend most of your day scheduling and thinking about how to message your team and how to protect your team. Your coordinators are doing the bulk of the deep dive work. So really one of the things I think Mike's done a great job of going all the way back to the Tannehill move was protecting his team from conversations and getting involved in narratives that don't help you win a game. Now you go to the playoffs, you're getting ready to play the Patriots, he won 3 Super Bowls with them, and all the stuff you're talking about. Was there a better person that can just kind of give the players the right perspective and message every single day, every meeting, every pre-practice, every post-practice, every time he addresses the team, he can take a lot of that from them and help them message when that camera gets put in front of their face or when they come on your guys' show or when they do their own TV show. He gives them the talking points. And it's that thought leadership through that process that I think really showed up last week. I look at it from a distance, obviously. I got my job I'm trying to do. But as I watch the TV shows, the local stuff, I'm hearing guys interviewed, I just heard Mike Vrabel speaking through different players. And that's the genius, that's the power of a head coach in the NFL.
We're talking to Trent Dilfer, breaking down this upcoming matchup, the Titans against the Ravens in the divisional round. Trent, give us your thoughts on the win over Belichick. I thought it was really something. You were just talking about all the accolades of Mike Vrabel. I thought it really showed up in that game. It was a brilliant chess match, the field position game, using what you had, playing the score in time, using Brett Kern to your advantage. What were your thoughts on just being able to win in that environment?
They know who they are. That's their secret sauce right now. Is that they know who they are. They know who they are defensively. They know who they are special teams wise, and offensively, it's obvious who they are. They are a Derrick Henry driven team with explosive passing abilities. Now they did the explosive stuff didn't show up against the Patriots because they didn't have to. But they know exactly who they are, so they never get out over their skis. They don't try to be anything they're not. They have an identity. That's the football lingo that everybody will use, is they have an identity in all three phases. And that's why they won the game, because they never panicked. They never felt uncomfortable. They never they controlled the game because they know who they are and they know how they needed to control it. A high-volume run, take your shots in the passing game, even though they didn't always hit, and then convert at critical times. Defensively, keep everything in front of you. Don't get beat by the big play. And eventually, the other team's going to beat themselves. And then outside all the missed kicks this year, and that is something obviously has to be addressed in this offseason, they are one of the best special teams in the league on how they cover kicks and how they block kicks. How smart they are in the kicking game, they typically win the field position battle. And, I mean, when you know exactly who you are, you're not going to panic because you're not trying to be something you're not.
How well is Derrick Henry running the ball right now? And as you said, with the identity that's gone with that, the development of the offensive line, compared to other running backs you've seen, I mean, it just looks to me like he's running about as well as you can run the ball right now.
Vision and contact acceleration. Anytime you run the outside zone game, that's what your back has to have. One, you know, those holes evolve in the midst of the play, so the runner has to have vision. Derek has great vision. But then the one thing that not enough people talk about is that contact acceleration. You're going to have initial contact. In that scheme, there's going to be a backer running through, coming over the top. There's going to be a defensive lineman disengaging from his block and getting an arm out there. There's going to be an outside edge defender diving back inside when he sees the hole open. So you're going to have that initial contact. What Derek does better than anybody in the league right now is as that contact happens, that's when he's accelerating. So that's why now obviously he has incredible physicality. But he maximizes that physicality because he accelerates in that initial contact. And that's why you see so many of his runs. Okay, we all see the hole on TV because television's awesome right now and you can see everything. He puts his foot in the ground. We all see it and then we go, uh-oh, there's somebody coming, and then he runs right through it, whether it's an arm, whether it's a shoulder, whether it's a safety coming downhill, whether it's a linebacker half-squaring him up. And he just consistently runs through that first contact because he's accelerating. Now he's on the second level. Then you see people making business decisions. And you force secondary guys to make enough business decisions in the course of a football game, and now you own the fourth quarter. And that's what they've done this year. I mean, they've owned the fourth quarter because of some very simple principles. They know who they are. They're going to stick with what they do, and Derek's going to wear your butt out by the end of the day.
Talking to Trent Dilfer, former NFL quarterback head coach at Lipscomb Academy, and I remember talking to you when we were over there about Ryan Tannehill. He had had the reins for a few games at that point, but when you look at his whole season since he took over, this offense really started to click, and Derrick Henry, I know, had a lot to do with that. But what did you see out of Ryan Tannehill that helped get this offense going in the direction that Arthur Smith, the OC, wanted it to go?
Well, it fits him. You know, he was in this offense. See, I was Ryan's biggest advocate. I mean, I took so much heat in Miami because I was constantly saying Ryan Tannehill could be a top-10 quarterback in the league. And everybody in Miami is saying, no, he's terrible, blah, blah, blah. I said, he's in the wrong system. He's in this kind of spread-out, shotgun-only, quick-passing offense. And that's not his gig. He, like Kirk Cousins, they're very similar. They're turn your back to the defense, put the ball in the belly, get seven steps deep and push it down the field. They're extremely accurate downfield passers. Ryan also has the athleticism, the twitch in his body, to kind of make that first guy miss or bob and weave or buy himself some space and time and if it's a pocket, or he can extend the play outside the pocket, or you can change the launch point by calling design rollouts or bootlegs. So he's really versatile when you put him in the right system. And then what happened, I went through this when I left Tampa, you almost have the right kind of I don't give a you-know-what anymore. You're like, I know how to do this. I'm not worried about what people say. I'm cutting it loose and letting it rip. And I'm not worried about all the bad stuff that can happen. And he's just playing free. He's playing decisive. He's made some of the biggest throws in the league this year. And only people around here know, because nobody knew the Titans were even having a good season until last week. But now I'm living in Nashville, and I'm watching every single snap, and I'm kind of become a Titans fan. Like, and then I'm also, because I'm talking on TV on Mondays, I'm also watching Lamar. I'm watching Mahomes. I'm watching Breeze. I'm watching everybody else too. He played top five quarterback in the entire league up until last week. And last week was just more a product of how the pace of the game went. But he has been awesome, not good. He's been awesome because of the fit. Now, that fit obviously has a lot to do with they have one of the best runners in football. They have a system they believe in. They have a play caller that's not gonna get off schedule. So there's a lot of good things happening, but Ryan deserves a ton of credit for how he's played.
Now, their opponent this weekend, Baltimore, I mean, we've seen this offense run by Lamar Jackson and what they've been able to do this season. Do you think that this is sustainable beyond this year, or is this a type of offense where the league is, they're going to get the film, they're going to start to figure it out?
It's somewhere in between the two. I'm not willing to jump on either side of that argument. I do think that he is a unique player in a unique time in the NFL with unique schemes that are going to take a little bit longer to completely write this book on him. Like everybody says, the worst analogy out there, I apologize if one of y'all have used this analogy, but it's dumb if you have, is the Wildcat. The Wildcat was a limited package that the league did find out really quickly, wrote the book on it, and said, okay, that's not going to be a huge impact thing anymore. This is a complete offense. This is a comprehensive A to Z offense that's unique. So it's going to take the league 2, 3, 4 years to change their personnel and their schemes to completely defend it. Now, is it going to be as explosive as it's been this year? I don't think it's going to be explosive this week. I give the Titans a really good chance. And I will say full transparency, I'll be in Baltimore Saturday night being honored before the game as the legend of the game for the Ravens. So I'm probably going to get heat by going up there. I think it's a coin flip game. I mean, that's how much I believe in the Titans' ability to slow it down, and I think the Titans will score some points. So I think it's going to be slowed down. It's not going to be as explosive, but it's not going away. Lamar Jackson's not going away. The wrap zone read game is really, really, really hard to defend. You are a man short, so then what you have to do is you have to – have limited secondary profiles, so limited coverages basically, to recruit somebody close enough to the line of scrimmage that is a run-first player. So you see Lamar make all these throws on these, like, let's call them these 20-yard chunk throws, where guys are running down the seams or running kind of deep crossing patterns or banana routes. That's really the three main concepts they run. Well, they do that because they're attacking an area of the field where you had to take somebody out of your secondary and bring him closer to the line of scrimmage to account for this unique run game. Oh, and then, by the way, they can run their seven traditional power and zone schemes that everybody else in the league runs that are really good schemes, but you're too busy worrying about the other stuff, and they just gash you with that stuff. So, and 13 personnel is a very hard personnel to match when those tight ends can run, because you don't really want to put big people on the field, because now you're going to have a tight end matchup on a slow linebacker. You don't want to put little people on the field, because obviously now you get run over. So if you just put your base personnel on the field, there's going to be one matchup that's in the offense's favor in the passing game. So it just really creates a giant headache for defenses. So another long-winded Dilfer answer. It'll be slowed down, but it's not going to be stopped.
All right, last thing, Trent. I'm going to hit you with a tough one. We had Rashawn Evans on last week, Titans linebacker, and I ended the interview by saying, okay, who are you rooting for in the national championship game, LSU or Clemson? I knew that would be very difficult for a guy who played at Alabama to answer. So now I'm going to hit you with a similar question as we wrap this up. We've been watching some of these bowl games, including Tennessee's bowl game against Indiana, where there was a guy by the name of Tim Hasselbeck in the booth as a color commentator. Was he a better quarterback, or is he a better color commentator, in your opinion?
Way, way, way better color commentator. I will say this, not just because they're two of my best buddies on the planet. Tim and Matthew both have become fantastic at calling college football games.
Wow, okay.
They make most of their money being NFL analysts, like we all work together at ESPN. But I text Matt the other day. I said, I know you're not going to do this long term because, you know, you're killing it on Sunday Countdown. But they are both fantastic calling games. The guy that worked for me for 9 years at ESPN, still works for me and for my foundation, produces both of them when they're on the road. He's kind of the guy that goes on the road with them. And I text him every time they call a game. I'm like, did you give them that, or did they come up with that on their own? They've both become fantastic at what they do. In fact, I enjoy listening to their games as much as anybody. And Tim wasn't a very good quarterback. He'll tell you that.
Well, we have him on tomorrow, Trent, so we'll make sure to play this one.
We'll pass that along tomorrow.
just play my sound.
We will definitely do that. Hey, always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. Loved it. Would love to get over there again sometime in the fall next season for one of your games and hang out and do a show there at your place again. Congrats on being honored this weekend. Go have fun, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks. You guys are always welcome at Lipscomb Academy. I appreciate you.
All right. That is Trent Dilfer. Good stuff from him. And we will indeed play that clip for Timmy tomorrow. That'll be fun. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase on the other side. But first, Willie, you're going to give us a word about the good folks at Lee Company.
All right. Let me tell you about Lee Company. Fantastic outfit. 615-567-1000 is the phone number. Now, if you're coming to Bridgestone Arena tonight, of course, the Predators will be in the spotlight. Lee Company always alongside. They're a big supporter of Nashville Predators hockey. They are a huge sponsor of our radio coverage, which will start up at 6 o'clock, of course, with Darren, Pete, and Hal. But back to Lee Company. The home maintenance plan, I have been saying it for years. We subscribe to it in our house. It has paid dividends for us because think long term with this. Preventive maintenance, it's a smart way to go. Have the 4 annual checkups of your heating system, your cooling unit, your plumbing system, your electrical system. They'll come in and give those annual checkups, and I'm telling you, they'll find the small problems before they become big problems. And they'll identify things that might need a tune-up. That will save you money over the long term because you get discounts on any repairs that do need to be made. It's Lee Company, 615-567-1000, or go to leecompany.com and make an online appointment. Lee Company, let their decades of expertise go to work for you.
Well, it looks like the Carolina Panthers have found their man. By the way, special thanks to Trent Dilfer. We appreciate him joining us. Good stuff from him, as always. Didn't know he was getting honored this weekend in Baltimore around the Titans and the Ravens game. It was pretty interesting to hear him say he felt like this is going to be a close game. We've talked about the line. Start off at 10. It has been going down, but it's still well over a touchdown. And it's pretty interesting to hear Trent talk about this game. It looks like the Carolina Panthers have given Matt Rhule a 7-year, $60 million deal. Hello? That's over $8 million a year? What is that, $8.5 million? Per for Matt Rhule? I mean, I liked his work at Baylor, but
big leap of faith.
My goodness. 7 years, 11.6 to be exact. Thank you, Schiller. 7 years, $60 million. Matt Rhule. Wow. Okay.
He got paid.
He did.
But
I mean, good
look,
for him.
Dave Tepper has the most money in the league, so. I mean, isn't he like one of the richest owners in the league?
Well, it's just different levels of rich. They're all rich.
Well, fair point.
They're all billionaires.
Like on this show, there's different levels of not rich.
Okay.
Which is where we're
not sure where you're going with that one.
I don't know.
But okay. Well, I've said this before. We had this conversation with Teron when Willie was, I think, out of town when he said, Hall of Famer is a Hall of Famer. I said, yes, true. But let's not pretend that all Hall of Famers are created equally. That's not how it works. You may all be in the Hall of Fame together, but it's not like you're all on equal footing, okay? Right? So you don't look at Harold Baines the same way you would Babe Ruth.
Right.
Ty Cobb, okay? You don't view them the same way. Yeah, they may both be in the Hall of Fame, but don't act like they're treated equally. That's not how it works.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's...
Or Pete Rose. Oh, wait a minute. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Aw.
Was that too soon?
It's not too soon, but it's just... I don't know.
You get my point, right?
Sure.
It's just... No, when Tom Brady's going to be first ballot, Peyton Manning are going to be first ballot, those guys, Drew Brees, is going to be first ballot. Yeah, we can talk about some other quarterbacks that are in the Hall of Fame, and they deserve to be in there, but they're not going to be viewed as those guys. So they're not all equal, you know. You're not all created equally. You're going to be viewed. That's why we have polls and rankings and all the stupid things we do in the summer months, right? Let's rank the top 10 greatest. Well, we're all talking about the greatest, but we're also ranking them. So that means they're not equal.
Right. The GOATs.
I don't even know why I went down that road. What the heck were we doing? What started
all
this? Well,
Matt Rhule, and then I said Dave Tepper is like one of the richest owners in the
league. Oh, that's right. Thank you. We're getting back to the rich guys, right? They're all billionaires,
right.
But they are
follow the
different.
Money. It's all come money. Back to the money.
Is there really, you say the smell of money. Can you really smell money?
Yeah.
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 Money has a smell.
Yeah. Does it?
Yeah.
Guess I need to get some more. I don't ever smell it.
Money
Sniff
smells.
Your wallet. What do you smell?
Smells like
smells
dollars.
Like old dollars, leather is what it smells like.
You're telling me if I blindfolded
smells
you.
Like success. That's what it smells
as
like.
As he holds up $2 $1 bills. Yeah.
You're smells, telling me, though, if I blindfolded you.
Hey,
and,
that
and,
one smells like the casino in Baltimore.
Is that real?
That is.
It's a $100 bill.
You don't think you could smell money if I blindfolded you and say, what is this?
No.
No?
No.
I would know.
You're crazy. You
I
would,
know.
Wouldn't you? Of course
yeah.
you would.
Really?
Know. You know
like
how
money
smells.
Money has a
Nothing
smell.
Nothing else smells like money. Nothing else. It's very easy to
now. There's dirty money and there's clean money. I mean, you know, there's difference, but
I couldn't tell you the difference between dirty money and clean money. But yeah, actual dollars, they have a smell. They have a distinct smell.
They do.
Okay. I look. I'm not disputing.
Do you have
you
a
guys.
Bad sense of smell?
I don't think it's bad. No.
Come on. That I've never heard anybody say they didn't know what the
my hearing
money
isn't
smelled
great.
Like.
My smell, I think, is fine.
Your hearing?
The sniffer's fine.
The hearing's going?
Oh, the hearing's been, you know. Slap
it's radio.
You slap headphones on your head every day for 20-plus years. You're going to eventually. It's going to hurt you in that department.
Yeah. When we were ringside that first day, because they were doing all the sound checks and I'm trying to like hold headphones, Gina from promotions was laughing at me because she would say something to me and I keep looking at her going, huh, what did you say? And she's finally like, are you okay? Can you hear? And I'm like, no, it feels like cotton balls are stuffed in my ears after doing the show ringside. Yeah. So.
We all had this one nailed. The New York Giants have also found their man. And we told you on this show.
We did.
That Joe Judge was for sure going to be the next
Called
head coach.
It.
We told you. This is what we knew. That Joe Judge. Actually, none of us. I've never even heard of
him. I texted.
I need to wiki him.
Yeah, I texted a bunch of people and I said, mark it down. Joe Judge, wide receivers coach from the Patriots. He's going to be the Giants' next head coach. And they said I was crazy.
He's 38 years old.
I'm sure he is.
I literally know nothing about him other than was the wide receivers coach for the Patriots.
Do the Giants know anything about him, or they're just like everybody else was taking jobs? So
they must have been extremely impressed.
I guess. Did they call other people and just get hung up on? Or this is just, I mean, the Giants ownership. I just question things.
Why?
I mean,
they're way better than the Jets. This was a Jets move. I would say, oh, well, there's a typical Jets hire.
But why do we
always? Well, they fired Pat Shurmur, which I
did.
Really
I disagree
that,
with that move. Yeah. I agree with you on that. I don't think they gave him a fair shake. No. I don't know what somebody was supposed to do with that team and win a whole lot more the last couple years. But in terms of when a guy, just because you're sitting there on a sports talk show and you haven't heard of a guy. It doesn't mean he's not a good coach. We don't know.
I didn't say that.
I'm not
that.
Saying you did, but I'm saying people do that.
I was actually just making a joke.
Right. I don't know who Joe Judge is either. I know who Aaron Judge is. I don't know if there's a relation. I mean, they're in New York, but I've never heard of either.
No.
But I never heard of John Harbaugh. I didn't know there was a John Harbaugh.
He was a special teams coach when they hired him.
I had no idea who he was. He's a pretty good coach. You know, there's a lot of coaches you can name that you had never heard of them. Before they became head
coach. I
don't
think when Clemson named Dabo Sweeney, we were all going, oh,
yeah, Dabo.
That is a home
That's
run.
That's going to
home
be the
run.
Solution.
Home run right
Great
there.
Great example.
Home
Great
run.
Example. Right. Not every guy is the big headliner. They turn into be good players. I think John Hines will be. There's a lot of people that immediately saw the name, hadn't heard of him, and they immediately said, well, what are they doing? I don't understand.
Oh, there's a well, how do you, That's all over the place.
Right.
Those are the same people that wanted Mike Fisher hired.
But how do
too.
They know? How do they know? How do you know how good John Hines is? Because he coached in New Jersey when they were coaching a total rebuilding project? You cannot judge that. They're, like you said, Joe Torre, you could take different spots of his career depending on who he was coaching. Or Jim Leland would be another one.
Jim Leland.
When Jim Leland was coaching the Marlins and they had a loaded roster, they won a lot of games.
Sure.
When they then took everybody away from their roster the next year, he wasn't quite as good a manager in terms of wins and losses. He's the same manager.
Steve
right?
Kerr has been an awful coach this year.
Exactly.
Awful.
He forgot how to coach?
He's been terrible.
You put in different situations, you have to do the best of what you have to work with.
But
well, Joe Moorhead, when he was hired 2 years ago, everybody was like, home run, that's a good one.
You think anybody knew who Brian Snitker was when he took over? Unless you were a hardcore Braves fan and you knew he'd been a base coach.
I knew who he was.
Okay, when he became the first base coach or the third base coach when he joined the staff, had you ever heard of him? I mean, he's not a former all-star third baseman. So that I'm just saying, when you first hear a name and you know, that's not a former player or that's not a guy that's coached somewhere else, you cannot prejudge that person based on that.
Well, like last night I'm doing the show and we're throwing out, who would be a fit to be the next head coach? And people were tweeting, and it was the same names over and over again. Peter DeBoer, because he just got fired in San Jose, and of all the available coaches.
Well, his resume is
the
best.
Right, so he was thrown out there. Phil Housley, because everybody always goes back to Phil Housley, even though, as Elliot Friedman explained, that would have been much harder to do because he's under contract as an assistant coach with Arizona. His name was thrown out there. And, yes, believe it or not, people were throwing out Mike Fisher. Because, what about Mike Fisher? He knows the room. No coaching experience.
But Elliot Friedman was throwing out John Hines as well.
Yes, Elliot Friedman came on with us last night and said John Hines, and he connected the dots, and that was something Ryan Porth texted me while we're doing that show, and he goes, I didn't know those dots. And when Elliot connected those dots, it made sense. John Hines. is probably going to be the guy. But my point in all that is people tend to – they know there are a few names that get thrown around, and so everybody just sticks to those names. And you have to think outside the box sometimes. David Poile went with the connection. He thinks that's going to be the right move. But, this guy in with the Giants, that's way outside the box. It could be the right move. It could blow up in their face. We don't know.
When David Poile first was hired, there were any number of well-known head coaches that were out there, including the coach of the year who had been fired. The Jack Adams Award winner was Ted Nolan, who had been fired by the Buffalo Sabres. And that was what everybody was talking about. Hey, this guy's out there. What do you think? He went with Barry Trotz. Nobody in this town had ever heard of Barry Trotz.
Yeah.
Nobody. But he was the right guy for the job.
Yep.
But only time will tell, yep. Right? We couldn't have known that at the time. But it was easy at that time to go, why wouldn't you go with the guy that was just the coach of the year? Right? It's the easy thing to do in the media or as a fan.
Does everybody agree with Trent that this game – in Baltimore is going to be close?
Yes.
It is going to come down to the fourth quarter?
Absolutely. I do.
You were pretty emphatic with that.
This team is on a roll right now. I'm a little concerned. I don't know what the status is on Jayon Brown right now, but as Trent mentioned, being able to run with their tight ends is important. When they lost Jayon Brown last week, I was worried. They did a very good job. Wesley Woodyard is a great guy to have. Yeah. In your back pocket, ready to go.
Jayon Brown was on the practice field today. Jim Wyatt just putting that out there.
Well, Teron Davenport told us yesterday he saw him leaving.
Yep. I heard him.
With nothing.
I saw him say that.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram.
No sleeve, no nothing.
So he would be a guy.
By the way, carrying his stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, that's a good sign.
This is one to keep an eye on, too. Mark Ingram has been battling injury, and he was not spotted on the practice field for the Ravens today.
I'd be surprised if he's
not playing.
He'll
play. But
right. But what percent will he be?
Sure.
Dean Pease is going to have to come up with a great game plan here to slow them down. They've been such a machine. But I'm pretty confident about the Titans' ability offensively. They have a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
I think they were on the verge of scoring more points last week. I thought it was a brilliant game plan. They were playing the number one defense in football. It was a great game plan by Belichick. He took away A.J. Brown. Right, they took away the big plays in the passing game, and they basically said Henry is going to run for some yards, but we'll try to stop him in the red zone. And Henry had a huge game, but they kept him to 14 points. I thought that was a smart game plan. I wonder if the Ravens will try something similar, or will they play more straight up and try to move players up to try to stop Henry and maybe open up opportunities down the field.
We had somebody call in on pick six on Friday that took Derrick Henry rushing yards, 150 or more, and double top shelved it.
Yep.
I said,
smart move.
I said, well, there's probably your winner. If that happens, there's probably your winner.
See, I went the other way. I thought I went under 100 because I thought
there were others.
Belichick will try to stop them and take that away.
We had Terry McCormick
they
on
went
earlier.
The opposite.
He went up. I posed the question to him. He said 99 yards or less. And he was quick to answer.
Yeah. But it was a smart game plan by Belichick.
Yeah.
Still wasn't good enough to win.
No, it was not. All right, we'll come back and put a bow on this yet again another fast-moving show here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I want to talk to all the men out there. Been telling you for years now about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And they know a lot of you have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who's the board-certified physician over there, and his wife Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to give you men the treatments they're required to improve your quality of life. And I hope you want that like I do, especially as we all get older. Cool Springs MD services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. If you want to achieve that healthy lifestyle, what are you waiting for? Pick up the phone. Make that appointment like I have. 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Tonight, John Hines will be on display. New Predators head coach, Predators and Bruins. 7 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 6, and everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. So what are you guys expecting tonight? I mean, it's been hard to really even think about a very good Bruins team in here, but it's going to be – and what do you expect from the crowd, like the energy too? Because there's been this change. I wonder what it'll be like in the building. It's had great energy all season long, but I think this tonight could be a little bit different.
Well, John Hines was quick to point out how impressed he has been over the years on the other bench.
Yep.
With the atmosphere here. So he's looking forward to that. I do think this is kind of a circle the wagons game, because the other factor that cannot be overlooked, it looks like Matt Duchene will be back in there tonight, but they're still going to be without Ryan Ellis and it appears Dante Fabro. So they are
and Colton
thin.
Sissons.
Absolutely Colton Sissons. But just from a defenseman
right.
standpoint, I think they have enough talent at forward to be all right. In fact, if and the other thing that I don't know if you guys mentioned this, but Nick Bonino was not here this morning. And so I don't know what his status is for the game. Obviously, they didn't address that at all. If he is available, they have to make a decision on who to bring out of the lineup. But I think offensively they have the weapons. But defensively, against a great team like the Boston Bruins, this is going to be awfully tough. Over time, having Ryan Ellis out is a huge, huge factor. Hopefully, he'll be back sooner than later, but there is obviously they've got to take their time with that, make sure he's back 100% when he is ready to come back. But managing that, they did a decent job in the Southern California games, three out of a possible four, but there's no comparison in the talent they're going to face tonight as compared to the Ducks and the Kings.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to learn a ton tonight. I mean, it's one game. And I think John Hines has to go through the evaluation process to figure out what he has with this team. Willie, before you got up here, and then you pointed it out too, you know, six games until the All-Star break. I think you take those six games to kind of let it all marinate and see what you got. You can make some tweaks. I mean, after tonight, he can go back, watch the film, and go, okay, maybe I want to move some stuff around and change this. But you're not going to just instantly fix everything that's been an issue tonight. Now,
tonight, for sure. Like
with all that said,
yeah.
I think the guys, there has been a wake-up call. There's probably going to be a different type of energy in this building. There's going to be a different type of energy in the locker room.
If you don't see urgency and if you don't see
urgency.
A different feel in the first period, it's going to be a uh-oh
yeah.
moment.
Yeah.
Honestly, if they don't come out with their hair on fire tonight, then I don't know how it's just going to magically turn around.
And I think you're going to see some specific players have that sense of urgency. They're the guys that we don't need to worry about that have been playing lights out, and you know who they are. But there are some, and as David Poile said, he was very upfront about it, you know, there are some really good players on this team that are playing well below their ability. That was a message.
Yep.
And I hope that those players heard that message and realized, like, hey, I got to get it going. And that does start tonight.
Yeah. Like Roman Yossi, like 32 minutes, that's all you can play? Like, I want to see if he can play 37,
yeah.
38
no,
minutes
no,
tonight,
it,
maybe 40, 40 minutes.
Give the
You know, I want to see new coach, new attitude from the captain. Maybe 40 minutes tonight.
Yeah, those are things that you will not be saying, right?
Yeah.
And I think Ryan Ellis, when he comes back, you know, he has had a really good year. You don't question his leadership, how he's done. It's just, and this was asked in various ways to John Hines, just bringing out the best and the best players, because David Poile was not shy.
Yeah.
He did not say particular names, but I think you know. But as I said, it's not all about how many goals and assists you have. It's playing winning hockey on both ends of the ice within the team. I don't know that this team is structured to have a bunch of guys get 40 goals. They're not all going to do it. But collectively, they can be a team that's as explosive as any team offensively. They've got to get the goals against average down. That's the key.
I think the biggest thing and the biggest takeaway, because in real life, all of us have been in situations where, you know, whether it's school or job or something, where there's somebody in power that you're like, you know, I'm not vibing. I think the message needs to change. And so things happen and you go through a process. And then when that person leaves, it's like, yes, they're gone. Things are going to get so much better. Well, some of that's going to be on you. Some of that is going to be on the employee or in this case, the player that, okay, you wanted a change. You got your way. Now you got to do something about it. Otherwise, you're going to be part of the change.
I think we've hit on a lot of the big picture things. One other thing to keep in mind tonight. I don't know if Nick Bonino is available or not, but if he is not, think about the importance of staying out of the penalty box. You have as good a power play unit as there is in hockey.
No,
with that
question.
Bruins team, right?
No Sissons, no Ellis, right? We know that. So
that's it. That's
and then
for
you
starters.
Take now you take him out.
You take Bonino out.
Whew.
No Fabbro.
Yeah.
Hopefully Dan Hamhuis is okay. He didn't play. He's a key penalty killer.
True.
Say what
yeah,
you will, but
out.
You looked at when Ekholm and Josi were not on the ice the other night when they were on the penalty kill. Guys who have not played a whole lot of power play time.
By the way, what did you make of Tenorti playing 22 and a half minutes?
They had no choice.
I was floored to see him out there that much.
Well, I mean, that's a guy that in this new structure could be utilized differently. I love his physicality.
Sure.
Him dropping the gloves. He
against Clifford in
L.A.? He got the nod against
Clifford. That was a heavyweight fight.
He got the nod in that.
Yeah.
He brings some things to the table, but does the eventual John Hines system fit his game better? Maybe.
Right.
We'll find out. These are the things. But stay out of the box tonight. Especially if you don't have Bonino. No Bonino, no Ellis, no Sissons. That's a huge task for the other guys.
No doubt.
By the way, if you do want to come to tonight's game, Jared and the GM coming up next, you can still register to win. We have the box here, so come in and put your name in the hat. They're going to draw. We're going to draw in a few minutes. We've had some people throw their name in, but you got to come in and see us, and then your tickets will be at will call, and you can go to the game tonight.
The Predators have tweeted out, for all your contributions on and off the ice, they have tweeted out a thank you to Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy, yeah. And we'll just reiterate what we have said throughout the course of today in different hours or portions of the show. A lot of you may have wanted to change, and maybe change we're going to find out was necessary. I don't know.
And
time
I think you heard David Poile. He was very reluctant to
sure.
do it. It's just not
yeah.
the way he has been. His history speaks for itself. He just felt like this was the move that had to be made.
I don't want to keep lumping these two examples together, but they're the best examples I have because I kind of feel like the fan base and a lot of people were saying the same thing about both. It's just like PK Subban. A lot of you were ready for him to move on. And maybe it was time for him to move on after three seasons. But just like PK Subban, Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy, just remember, their time here, things were really good. Mm-hmm. Really good.
Best they
don't forget
been.
That, okay? 5.5 years with Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy, and we're about to find out, was it time for a new voice? I don't know. It starts tonight. The clock starts tonight with John Hines. But just remember, the 5.5 years of a President's Trophy, two division titles, which had never been done, and they go back-to-back years. A run to the Stanley Cup Final, goes without saying, had never been done. PK was a part of that as well. Just remember, those have been really, really, really successful times. And so you should keep that in mind no matter how you felt about whether it was time for a change or not. Do not diminish how important that time frame, that window when they yep. were here, whether it was PK's 3 years or 5.5 with Peter Laviolette and Kevin McCarthy, how good it's been.
Yep. I well said, Darren. And, look, I think that was kind of the attitude when Barry Trotz left too, of you have to look at the big picture. It was probably time. It was time to make a change, but just like it was probably time here. But there were a lot of good things that happened. You're smelling
hear
the
that?
Money.
Smelling the money.
You're right.
There's a
it
movie with Tom Cruise and Paul Newman called The Color of Money.
Color of Money.
You are aware of The Color of Money.
I am.
Aren't you?
Yeah, they shot pool in that movie.
They did.
That will do it for our show today.
Good movie, by the way.
Are we going to draw a name right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is for tickets to tonight's game. How about Hunter Davidson?
Hunter Davidson.
Bingo. Winner.
Four more hours to come in here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. Another chance to get in the building tonight. That is going to do it for our show. You have a great rest of your day. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We will see you then. Stay tuned. Jared and the GM is next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.